old day, but 150 years, happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, actually, our birthday is coming up is the 6th of March. That's the actual day that the brigade was formed, and or the day that the brigade has continuously run from. So we had a, or in the day, they had a public meeting at the Flying Buck Hotel, which is up at about where Images Restaurant is. And they kicked the brigade off there, and it's been in operation ever since.
So it's pretty well documented then, is it, the history of the brigade?
Yeah, it is. We're very lucky, the brigade's very lucky in that we've got all our minute books from that date, and we've got the original minute book with the list or the minutes of that public meeting. There were a few attempts at starting the brigade, Ray Brigade, prior to that, and they're well documented in some of the local newspapers, like the Examiner and remnants of the Examiner and the Standard have some fantastic accounts of the brigade in its early days and through now into the 2000s. Yeah.
Now I know you weren't there at that initial meeting, but do you know what was discussed and why they thought, you know, well, now's the time and let's make this happen.
Yeah, they kept having fires, Jeremy. There were several fires, funnily enough, in days when the candle was the primary method of lighting your way at night. They had a lot of fires, and there was a couple of significant ones. There was one known as the Bateman's Fire, which was really big in, I think that was in 1856, and they lost like $30,000 worth of stock, and people actually thought that the whole of the block of Central Warrnambool was at that time was going to burn. People started moving their houses, their furniture out of their houses. Right. And so from that point, they tried and failed. And actually, the week before the meeting at the Flying Buck Hotel, they actually had a fire at the Flying Buck Hotel, which was thought to be suspicious. And the owner of the hotel at that time, J. Amon Smith, actually offered a reward of £50 for information as to who may have lit the fire. But later in that week, the public meeting was held at the Flying Buck, or the remnants thereof, and kicked it off. So I think it was the community, the people in the community identified, yeah, well, we're having serious fires. We need a fire brigade.
I mean, these days when we think of a fire brigade, we think of things that are, or an organisation that's very well organised, I suppose, and you know, has a very clear running model, I guess. But back then, 150 years ago, were they basing it on something? Was it part of a network of anything, or you know, what was it?
They were on their own a bit in that they were fairly isolated in because of the lack of roads and trains and anything like that. They did write letters a lot. They wrote letters to other fire brigades that had already been formed in the Geelong area, in Bendigo and Sandhurst, and got rules and regulations from those brigades and just modified them to use here. But pretty much they sort of went their own way. They did suffer a lot from lack of funds in the day. So they decided to have a fire brigade. They then immediately needed to start raising money so they could get equipment and uniform and things like the bell that we've got on display here, so that they could equip themselves to actually fight fires. So they had a lot of ups and downs in the early years, in the first 20 to 30 years. They struggled at times, they were inactive at times, but there was still that sort of core of people with interest and pushing it along.
And was it a volunteer thing as well, or were they full-time firefighters?
No, it was volunteers. The brigade was fully volunteer right up until the 60s. 1961, actually, was when the first permanent staff members were appointed to the brigade. So it was fully volunteer for quite a long time. There were various sort of funding schemes around in those days, though. So water was an issue. There was no water pipes or water mains as we know it now. So people would cart water to the fire and receive some recompense for that. They had a scheme at one stage where there was three cards at the fire station, and the first fireman who got to the fire station grabbed the first card, and he got £1 or something like that for being the first person to respond to the alarm of fire.
Right, yeah.
So that was probably more an incentive scheme, I suppose, than actual payment. But yeah. But they were all volunteer. It was initially the Warrnambool Volunteer Fire Brigade.
And who would have been raising the alarm as well at that time?
Well, it was whoever discovered the fire. And reading through some of our old fire reports, there's various people named as in different instances as finding a fire and raising the alarm. And raising the alarm was difficult for them. So they actually, in the early years, bought a triangle, and they would use the triangle and bang away. And then they actually got the bell and installed that. But they employed various methods. For many years, they had young lads who would be messengers or knockers, they would call them. And their job was, when a fire alarm was raised, was to run to different houses of firemen and knock on the door, let them know that there was a fire, and get them to come to the to the fire station or to the scene of the fire.
It's a cumbersome kind of approach, isn't it? Were they very effective? Did they actually manage to save buildings?
I think they did. Reading through some of the reports, a lot of the times that the fire that the actual building was in, or the building that was actually involved in the fire, was lost, but they would save other buildings. So because everything was jumbled together, and these are the days of timber buildings and timber shingle roofs, it would be very easy for a fire to just progress from building to building to building. And so a lot of fires occurred in stables and things like that. And so often they may not have saved the building that was actually involved in fire, but they would save surrounding buildings and stop the fire from spreading out any further.
Well, let's look at some of the things in the exhibition then. So you've mentioned the bell. Is the bell the sort of oldest, most precious thing that the brigade has these days?
It's the minute book is probably the oldest and most precious, the original minute book. But the bell's, it's pretty sturdy. It's not real precious, but it's as old as the brigade itself. It was actually cast in 1863 in England by a company called J. Warner and Sons, and they actually cast the Big Ben bell as well. But the brigade bought it, I believe, in 1867 for the sum of £55 at that stage. And it came with pulleys and a rope for pulling. And the borough, I think the Warrnambool borough at that time, contributed a sum of money to mount the bell as well. But it's quite heavy. It's 400 weight, which equates to about 200 kilograms. And has a note of A-flat, apparently, although we haven't rung it for a while to work that out.
I wonder if that's the official fire note or...
Yeah, I don't know. There were some official methods of ringing them. They did have, if there was a fire, that would just rang as loudly and fast as they possibly could. But then to call the firemen together to practice or for a meeting, they would ring it slowly. So just ding, ding, ding. And the brigade now, as for many years, had a motion on their books or in their rules that if a fireman passes away and they drive past the station in the funeral procession, that the bell is rung slowly while the person, while the cortege goes past.
So, when the bell was acquired, then where was it actually hung?
Well, it was acquired from Melbourne and it was brought down, and then the council built a tower for it, actually, near the fire station, which at that time was in Liebig Street, near where the town hall is now, near the bowling club, or what was the bowling club. And so they built a tower there for it, which lasted for quite a few years until it actually fell down in a large gale, and the bell landed on the ground with all and sundry of the tower. And and since then, it's been installed in or near a tower at or near the fire station. So for many years it sat here in the Liebig Street and then went up to Raglan Parade, where the brigades had probably five major stations in its years. So a couple in Liebig Street, one at Raglan Parade. For many years, one in Tynemouth Street near Archie Graham Centre, and now our current home up on on Raglan Parade.
Now, these days, of course, when you get called out to a fire, you've got a lovely shiny red truck that you go in. In the olden days, what was the equivalent, I suppose?
I guess there was a couple of things that they used in the olden days, which were what they called engines, which were a hand pump, and hose reels or carts, which were a hand-drawn cart. And we've got one on display here. It's essentially a couple of wagon wheels with a barrel or drum suspended in the middle, and hose is wound around the drum so that it could be reeled out. It's hand-pulled, so it's got a small drawbar on the front and a box on the front as well, which would carry various equipment, so what we call a branch, which is used to direct or squirt the water out of the hose, a hydrant, so that's used to get water out of the ground, and various tools, axes and things like that, which might be used for forcible entry or to make entry into a building.
It really looks like a modified, I'm not sure what the correct word is for them, but the sort of buggies that you see at the trots, you know.
Horse carriage or something similar, and would have been made by carriage works in the day. In our first minute book in the 1870s, the brigade is actually seen to call for tenders for the construction of a hose cart, and two local Warrnambool firms tendered to do that, or put in tenders, and one was awarded the tender. Now, I can't say that this one that is here on display is the actual one that was constructed, but this is an original Warrnambool Fire Brigade cart, And when you look closely on the sides of the cart, it's got WFB and Warrnambool's written on the box. So we're very lucky that this has survived. There are similar carts around because our competitions or fire brigade competitions were instigated as a part of practicing or working on your skills in using this equipment. And so modern day, those carts are still around. But this one is lucky to have survived that long. It's lucky as well because it was in the fire station at Flagstaff Hill, as some of the memorabilia that's here today was. And we had a fire there recently and we were able to actually save, the fire brigade was actually able to save most of their fire brigade equipment or memorabilia.
Yeah, yeah. Was that what you grabbed first when that fire happened, I wonder? Did they race down and say, quick, don't worry about the building, get the stuff out.
No, we did. The first thing we did was get a hose out and start squirting it. A bit, it's funny how in fire brigade things repeat themselves, and I spoke before about the fire brigade in the day saving the buildings next to the building that was on fire. And at Flagstaff Hill, that's exactly what was happening. The building that was on fire, the examiner office, wasn't going to be put out. It was near destruction when we got there. But the fire station, which was right next door, that became the object of our attention straight away. We were squirting water on it to stop it catching fire because of the fire next door.
Now, there are also plenty of trophies here as well. And some of them look very much like trophies, but some of them are some very bizarre things indeed, including one that looks a bit like a teapot. Just tell us a bit about some of the trophies that are here.
Yeah, the trophies are interesting. The brigade's got quite a significant collection of trophies, and they all date around the late 1800s, early 1900s, when the brigade was quite good at the competitions of the day, and the competitions were quite big. There was a lot of interest from the general public in the competitions, and in some of the information or some of the newspaper cuttings from the day, there's stories of how the town band would go down to the railway station and a train would arrive with the firemen who were arriving for the competition, and the competition would run for 4 days, and the competing brigades would march up the hill from the fire station, and it was quite a celebration and quite a big event. So coincidentally, the trophies are quite ornate and elaborate, and the couple of trophies we have here, there's a shield that's on display from the Geelong Fire Brigade Jubilee competition in 1904. And we've got a picture as well of the people who were involved, or the members of the brigade who represented Warrnambool.
And the one I really like is the teapot. Is it a teapot? I don't know.
It's a tea warmer. We've got a couple of them. It's got, I think you put your tea in it and you lit a little fire underneath it and it kept going. But it's solid silver. And it was won by the Warrnambool Brigade actually at the first Warrnambool competition. So Warrnambool held a state championships in 1894. It was the first time that they'd had that size of competition here in Warrnambool. And the brigade at the time, being quite competitive, were able to win several trophies. And this teapot arrangement is one of them.
There's a couple of other trophies here as well, which, well, they just look to me like they don't belong here. Like someone's made a mistake. They're almost like sort of Shakespearean characters, little miniature Shakespearean characters. But these are also trophies?
Yeah, they're from that same championships in 1894. And we've often wondered ourselves within the brigade about the origin. We've never been able to establish where they came from. They were won by the Warrnambool Brigade again for an event called Engine Practice for 8 Men. And which would have involved them dragging the engine cart down the road and down the track and pumping some water, and in these events the fastest time won. But they do stand out a bit in that they're quite ornate, as you describe. I often think about D'Artagnan or pirates or something else when I look at them. But it'd be interesting to get them actually, someone who has knowledge of these things to advise us what they are and what they're worth. Yeah.
So where are all these things usually kept then?
At the fire station. We have a meeting room at the fire station, the Jim Ponting Memorial multi-purpose room, and at the end of that we have a large wall with all of these trophies on display. And some were on display at at Flagstaff Hill in the historical fire station up there as well. Yeah.
There's also plenty of photos and some other memorabilia which are a part of the exhibition. So it's really, I guess, a nice way to mark the brigade's history. One thing we should just talk about as well is the transition to the CFA. When did that happen? And was there much resistance to that?
I don't know about resistance. So the brigade over the 150 years has had quite a few, or a couple of governing bodies, I suppose. And the CFA is relatively young in the scheme of things. The CFA was formed in 1944, and that was a result of the 1939 bushfires, where they had Royal Commission, which was managed by Judge Stretton, and he suggested that there should be a body formed for the management of fire brigades in Victoria, and the CFA came out of that. Before that, and on one of the helmets you'll see CFB, there was a Country Fire Brigades Board, and they also sort of organised or managed brigades, standardised equipment and helped with training and that type of thing. And before that, there was a United Fire Brigades Board or Demonstration Committee who actually managed more the demonstration type things. And so there's been a couple of different governing bodies, the CFA, which is the latest and probably the best organised, right. I would say, yeah.
Now, you mentioned some of the other events which are going on as a part of the celebration, or the 150th. There's obviously this exhibition. What else is planned?
Yeah, there's a few things going on, Jeremy. Couple of the big things are actually two state championships. So we've talked about competitions and brigades competing. So the brigade this year is going to hold the Victorian State Junior Fire Brigade Championships on, I think that's around the 25th and 26th of February. And then on the long weekend in March, we've got the Senior State Championships. So they're held each year in various towns around country Victoria, and the Warrnambool Brigade's hosting both of those this year. The brigade was formed at a public meeting, so we're actually going to have another public meeting on the birthday of the brigade. So that's on the 6th of March, and it's at the Whalers Hotel, or the Whalers Inn, which was close to the Flying Buck Inn, which in the day was our first meeting. So that's going to be not so much a recreation, but just an acknowledgement of where the brigade came from, and the fact that I think the brigade's about community. If it wasn't for the people in the community volunteering and being organised and showing leadership and involvement, we wouldn't have fire brigades. So as well, we'll have a formal anniversary dinner in May, on the 18th of May, anniversary dinner. So they're the three or four major events that we've got happening along with the display here.